Your Bibles at 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and I didn't leave myself a lot of time. I'm the one that made the schedule, so I can't even complain about it, so it's all right. I can talk fast, so 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 19. The Bible says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without with the law, being not without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the masteries is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my under my body and bring it under subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And the theme has been on my heart and mind for many months, probably the last year or so. And as I thought about those kids that were up here tonight and those teens, and that just impacted me even more, is, am I willing to do whatever it takes to give the gospel to every person that I can? So that these young people have a world that they grew up in that is better placed than we received. And we can all see the world that we have right now and the problems that are going on within it. All you have to do is read the news, you know, on either side of it, and see things that years ago that no one could have imagined certain things would be taking place in our country. But there's only one thing that can change that, and his name is Jesus Christ. And it's up to us to faithfully proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and the salvation that he brings. And that's what the primary responsibility that God gave us was, to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I'm so thankful that when Jesus Christ came, he didn't go halfway, but he did everything that it took so that we could be saved. He gave his very life for us. He didn't hold anything back. And this thought has been on my heart and mind. Am I willing to do whatever it takes? And when we were in Kansas, we were in Leavenworth, an army town, and there was a phrase that was repeated many often by the soldiers, and that was, whenever they were given a job, they would say, "Too easy," which basically meant, "I'm going to take care of it." And if we had a work day, or if our pastor gave him a job, they said, "Too easy, we'll take care of it." And I was reminded this morning, as pastor was talking about being faithful. And someone that's faithful, someone you can get them a job, and you know that they're going to do whatever it takes to get it done. You give it to them, you don't have to worry about it. And we know that the Bible says that confidence in an unfaithful man is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. If you ever had to give a job to someone and think, "I know I'm going to have to go back and redo what they did," we know that what that's like, many of us. But what a blessing it is to know that we can have people that will do whatever it takes. And God entrusted us with the gospel. And he said, do what it takes to get it to the world. Amen. And many people have twisted this passage in a wrong way. And I want to be clear up front that is not what is being said tonight. We're looking at the word of God. Some people say, "Oh, you have to do anything, including compromise what you believe to try to win people." No, that's not anything what Paul is saying here. But he's saying, anything that I can do, he said, I'm willing to. Even at my own expense, even if it's something that I may not be comfortable with, as we'll see as we look at this briefly. But are we willing to do whatever it takes? As we think about these young people, as we think about our coworkers and our friends and relatives that are unsaved or that are away from the Lord out in the world, are we willing to pray? Are we willing to give? Are we willing to go out and go forward and do whatever it takes? And there's probably no better example of someone that did this than the Apostle Paul. Romans 9, the beginning of that chapter, he says, "I say the truth in Christ and lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh." He said, if I could, I would die and take their place and go to hell for them. Right. He was willing to do whatever it took to reach people for Christ. Are we willing to do whatever it takes? Paul was willing to do whatever it took to reach people with the gospel. And just for sake of time tonight, you have to go back and look at it. But the beginning of chapter 9, Paul kind of defends himself, that those churches that had been supporting him so that he could go and preach the gospel full time. And in that sense, but he said, "Hey, I'm willing to leave that all behind and give anything to keep on preaching. He says, just because I don't have a paycheck or a support from churches, he said, I'm going to keep going, even if it kills me, is what he basically says there. And then he says he is willing to be under the Old Testament laws around the Jewish people to not offend them, even though we're not required to be under the Old Testament ceremonial laws. Praise the Lord. And then he said, I'm willing to not be under those laws when I'm around the Gentiles. He said, I'm willing to be like the weak when I'm around those, basically those that needed stronger protections in their life to keep them from sin. And he said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, anything short of compromising the truth of the Word of God. And as he went out, his goal wasn't to get people to conform to his standard, because he had a very high personal standard for himself. His goal was to preach the gospel and let Jesus Christ change their lives. And the previous chapter, he deals with things like meat offered to idols, things that was not a clear sin. And he says, hey, if it's going to be a stumbling block to someone, don't do it if you need to. He says, do whatever it takes to reach people for Christ. Don't let anything hinder the glorious message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, unfortunately, so many people have taken the name of Christ and drug it through the mud and left a bad taste in so many people's mouths, unfortunately. And you talk to someone, try to witness to them, they say, oh, you're a Christian, I know all about you, because of what someone else has done in the name of Christ and drug his name through the mud. But are we willing to do what it takes to reach people for Christ? Paul said he was willing to do anything. And as long as it didn't violate what God had told him to do, he didn't make a big deal about it. But if it was clear in the Bible, he wouldn't budge an inch. And I'm so glad that we don't have to budge an inch of what God has given us, the foundation of the Word of God, of how to govern our lives. Even as young people are studying those verses and those things that will take with them for the rest of their life and affect their thinking and the way that they live their life. And Paul said, hey, outside of that, though, he said, I'm not going to worry about it. Even in Philippians 1, he had people when he was in prison that were preaching spitefully against him that said, hey, Paul's in prison now, we get to be on top. And they weren't even preaching from the right heart, but they were still preaching the gospel. And he says, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. He says, hey, even if their motives aren't even right, if they're preaching the gospel, I'm not going to say something bad about them personally, because I just care about the gospel going forward. Right. And a lot of times we want people to do things just the way that we want it, in our own way, instead of doing whatever it takes. One man said of Paul, and one commentator, he would not sin against God to save the soul of his neighbor, but he would very cheerfully and readily deny himself. The rights of God he could not give up, but he might resign his own, and he did very often so for the good of others. And what a picture of Jesus Christ. Before he went to Calvary for us, he said, hey, let this cup pass from me. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He didn't really want to go through what he went through. No one would have wanted to go through what Jesus Christ went through. But it's a sign of humility, saying, it's not my way, it's what does God want? What is the best way? Sometimes there's choices that we have to make in our own lives of, do I want my way or my comfort level? Or am I concerned about reaching that person for the gospel? Having the proper mindset. Are we willing to do whatever it takes to help those that are weak? And whether it may be weak in the sense of that they are lost, or weak in the sense of that they are just spiritually not mature and just newly saved, or whatever the case may be. He said if they're a weak Christian, he didn't want them to stumble by anything that he did in his life so that they would go away from God. If they were not saved, he didn't want to do anything that would keep them from hearing the gospel to the best that he could. And you think about our country has become very weakened in a lot of ways. And people get offended over a lot of different things, unfortunately. And I'm a millennial, so I get all the things that go along with that, and unfortunately, good or bad. And while we don't need to debate or whatever what the causes of the problems are, we know that we can't reach people with the gospel by insulting them and calling them names. And as we see people on the news and they do things that we just can't imagine, and these kids have been traumatized by school shootings and they put them up there and people are feeding them in their ear how to say these, you know, propaganda, and so many people online are just blasting their kids that are being saying these things, and yet that's not what's going to reach them for Christ. It's going to show them the truth and love. And yes, we can't back down from the truth. They need to accept Christ as their Savior or they'll be lost forever. But we can do it in the right way with the right heart. And I think about churches like Westboro Baptist and all those places and all the terrible things that they do in the name of Christ and drag the name of Christ through the mud, and the way that they hurt people by the things that they say, and just go way overkill in so many things. But our goal as a church is that when someone comes here, they see the love of Christ. When a visitor walks in for the first time, they say, wow, that church cared about me. And nothing that we can say will matter until they know that we care about them. You've heard it said many times, people don't care how much you know until you know how much they care. And when people know that we care about them and care about their eternal souls, that's what's going to change them. And knowing that we put thought and care to making sure that things are in a great order and clean, and thank you for everyone that makes sure that the facilities are first class and sharp, as when people walk in, and I'm always looking around. If I see like a piece of paper on the ground, I'm like pouncing on it, because I don't want there to be anything that could distract someone from hearing the message. That's why as a church, we want everything that we do to have to be first class and sharp. And as a recent study that was shown of people, what they're looking for in a church. And they're not looking for a show. They're not looking for a concert. They're not looking down for a watered-down message, because people are searching for the truth. There's three main things that they said people are looking for. They're looking for a place that's real, that's not full of hypocrites. And we've all met people that were hypocrite Christians and have done the name of Christ harm. They look for a place that's a community to be a part of, a family. And what a wonderful place is. My wife and I have felt, as we've been here the last couple months, and we felt the love of our church family. And we want that to be highlighted as people come in, as we show the love of Christ to those people. And they want a place that they can be included in, where it doesn't matter what they look like, doesn't matter what they came from, doesn't matter how much money they have, what their skin color is, that they feel that everyone treats them the same no matter what. And that's, we're all one in the same in the gospel. And in heaven, there's going to be people from every kindred, every nation, every tongue, every tribe. And heaven's going to be a multicultural place. And it's going to be an exciting thing. And unfortunately, that has become a stirred up thing again in our world for whatever reason. That's not godly to have those type of thoughts and prejudices against people, because none of us could control those things. We couldn't control who our parents were. And so, but we can control how we show the love of Christ to people. Amen. And that takes time. It takes effort. It takes money. It takes sacrifice. It doesn't happen by accident. And we know that we have a church that is that way, that loves people and that cares about people. And we want to do everything that we can to highlight that for people that come in here. And just like I know that I love my wife, but I have to work at making sure that she knows that. Because if I am not paying attention and I get busy doing other things, and for whatever reason, she needs to be reminded that I love her, not just in the words that I say, but in my actions. And again, someone doesn't come to our church, get saved, get baptized, join the church, start giving, and teach the Sunday school by accident. That takes all of us working. It'd be nice if that worked just like that, you know. And but it takes a journey. And people now are getting saved out of deeper and deeper things. And it's not going to happen. They're going to wake up the next day and be a super Christian. That'd be, none of us can wake up that way. And it's going to take us loving people along the way and helping them grow in Christ, from the littlest child to the oldest person. And we can identify potential stumbling blocks like Paul did that could hinder people from receiving the gospel message. And again, there's no way to do this 100%, but we can do it to do the best that we can and continue doing those things. And again, if the cross offends, if they don't want to hear the truth, we can't help that. If there's anything that we can do to help them be able to listen to the message of the gospel, that is what I want to do. And what did Paul do to reach people? He went to the people where people were at. Every time he's seeing, where's the first place he goes? He goes to the tabernacle or the synagogue, wherever the large group of people were. And that's why today we have a website, we have social media, all these different things that, love it or hate it, it's there. And we can use it as a tool to reach people for the gospel. And that's the first thing, Pastor, one of the first things that we got here, hey, can you make sure that those things are updated? Because people are judging our church before they ever step foot on our property. And they're looking at our website. That's the first thing that we do. We hear a restaurant. Oh, we Google it, you know. And we're trying to figure out what the reviews are, what people have said. And that's why we want those things to be as best as they can. The things that we give out to people to invite them to church. Whatever we can do to impact people for Christ. And Paul and his team, they were willing to do whatever it took to be most effective for reaching people for Christ. And in Acts 16, One thing that truly showed that was when Paul, Timothy got saved, that young man who's going to come on board with them to work with them. But Paul said to Timothy, hey, we're going to be working with some Jewish people, and you need to be circumcised to be able to effectively reach them. I'd hate to have been in that conversation. Timothy probably saying, I need to do what? Right. But he did it. That's right. He was willing to do whatever it took to not be a stumbling block, to effectively reach anyone that he can. As I think about it, what in my life could keep someone from listening to me share the gospel to them? Maybe it's an attitude that I have. Maybe it's certain actions that I've had. Maybe it's a prejudice or thinking about people that I've had. And we've probably all do this in different ways. You know, we want to witness to somebody, and the first person God brings across our path is like some giant, scary biker guy. We're like, oh, I don't know if I want to witness to that guy. I don't think he'll want to listen. And yet, that may be the person right at that moment that is ready to hear the gospel. Right. And it's up to us to not quench the Holy Spirit. If God says, hey, go, I need to be willing to go and do whatever it takes. Even if he says, what's wrong with you, and doesn't want to listen to me, I just need to be obedient to what God has for me. Paul is willing to do whatever it took to reach anyone he could. Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, servant, slave, sick, poor, anybody that he could come across to give the gospel to, he did whatever he could. But then the second part is he was willing to do whatever it took to finish his race, to be faithful. As you see here at the end of this chapter, he says, so run that ye may obtain. And he said that he keeps his body under subjection, lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul said, if I'm not faithful to the end of my life, it's going to undo years and decades of my ministry. All those people that I led to Christ or had influence on me, if they see me fall into sin, it's going to severely hurt them. And we've all probably seen and known people, unfortunately, maybe a pastor or something like that, that fell into sin and how many people it hurt and devastated. And Paul said, I got to be faithful to the end. And for those of us, as with our young people and our children and grandchildren, as they look up to us, they want to see that we make it to the end of our life. And just a few weeks ago, as we had that funeral for Mrs. Doris Wheatley, she was faithful to the end. And everyone had a wonderful testimony of her and her life because she finished her race strong. And Paul said, that's what I want to do. I want to cross that finish line, not limping and dragging, having me pulled along, but still in stride. And Paul uses that sports analogy. I think he's like me. He likes using sports analogies. And I mean, Pastor uses basketball stories all the time. I'm not good enough to have any basketball stories. But think about athletes. What motivates them to keep going? They want to finish. They want to end on top. And as the NBA playoffs are going on right now, I've been following a little bit. And those athletes are dedicated to winning a trophy that next year we won't even remember who won it. And yet we're laying up treasure that'll last forever if we're faithful to the end. And if you could ask Paul and say, Paul, why do you keep running your race? What keeps you going? He said, I've got to keep going. I've got to do whatever it takes to finish my race. I've got to do whatever it takes to reach people for the gospel. And as a church, we've got to keep running our race and keep moving forward. And we haven't finished yet. The scores are not final. There's still people left to be won to Christ and to disciple. Because Jesus said, occupy till I come. And as long as God so has us here, there's still work to be done. And if we quit now, all those that come behind us are going to suffer for it. And God has us here like Esther, who said, I'm here for such a time as this. Amen. It's not an accident that I'm here. It's not an accident that you're here tonight. It's not an accident that God put us in this church to go and reach those people in our communities, in our neighborhoods, in our families for the gospel of Christ. And we've got to keep going for their sake and do whatever we can to reach them for the gospel, not backing down in any way from the word of God, because God's word doesn't change, because God doesn't change. But anything that I can do to get the gospel to someone, whether it's by going and handing the tract to them, whether it's by posting some salvation verses on social media, whatever the case may be, just leaving a tract somewhere as I go, having the right attitude of always saying, God, who can I witness to today? Who can I make an impact on their life today? Whatever it takes to reach people for the gospel. And when we stand before our Savior, as Pastor alluded to this morning, will we be able to say, I gave it my all. I did everything that I could. And he say to us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at all of those that you made an impact on their life for eternity. Those people will never know the impact of our life, of our testimony, of our family, and those people that have been saved through coming in contact with us. And yet when we get to heaven, I think we'll be very surprised, hopefully, about the eternal difference that we'll make if we'll do whatever it takes to spread the gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love to us and that you gave your all for us to die on the cross for our sins so that we could be saved. And Lord, that you'd help us to continue doing whatever it takes to reach people for Christ and not backing down from the word of God, but Lord, looking for any and every opportunity that we can to be a witness in our job places and our families and our neighborhoods. Lord, in any way that we can to be a greater witness for you. Lord, that you would open our eyes to those that are around us that are lost. Open our eyes to those that are hurting that we can minister to be a witness to plant that gospel seed. And Lord, we thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, we thank you for this church and the decades of faithful people that have loved you and have served you. And Lord, that we won't let that all stay in the past, but Lord, that we will look to a brighter future of serving you and a continued reaching people for Christ. Lord, we again thank you for your goodness to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, we do have our... Oh, Pastor, come up.
Wow, that was really good. Tell you what, I really enjoyed